Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me today for prayer. I am honored to intercede with you and also for you, and just grateful for this time that we have together. Today, as we pray, let's pray deep. Let's pray big. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with trust. And let's be persistent. You know, so often we want our prayers answered immediately, right? I was always struck by the parable of the persistent widow. It's found, I think, in Luke chapter 18. You know, you remember the story where the poor widow kept begging the judge to grant her justice? She didn't just ask once and said, you know, let me know what you decide. No, she kept asking with persistent, petitions over and over again. And I really believe that's one of the most effective prayers in the Bible. Those who prayed persistently, you know, in the Psalms, you know, David writes, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. You talk about that persistent cry. You know, Jesus prayed persistently. You know, on the night before his crucifixion, what did he do? He went with his apostles, right? Begged them to stay awake with him. And he poured out his heart to his Father, saying, hey, if there's any other way, please, you know, but not my will, your will. He asked God to take the cup from him. And I know you're probably saying that same prayer right now. Lord, take this cancer. Take this financial hardship. Lord, take this cross from me. But I think one of the most beautiful prayers you can pray is, Lord, take this from me, but your will, not mine. Your will be done, Lord. That's the prayer we need to pray. And pray it again and again. Scripture tells us three times he cried out to his Father, and his Father heard him and gave him strength and resolve to face the cross. Persistence in prayer, abandonment to God's will. That's what we need to do. I want to pray for a couple of people who have written to me. This intention came in, and they said, Drew, could you please have the Relevant Radio prayer community pray for our oldest nephew, Tommy? He was 36. He was at the beach on his birthday. He was in Kauai on Saturday when his mother and 9-year-old daughter got swept into a riptide. He went in to save them, which by the grace of God, they were saved. But by the time the jet skis returned for him, he was underwater. He was revived, has a heartbeat, but he's on a ventilator. His organs now are beginning to shut down, and he needs a miracle that only God can provide. And this person wrote in bold letters, we trust in God's providence and divine mercy. So we are praying for you. Paul, thank you for writing. I remember you, and I will certainly pray in a special way. My heart goes out to that situation. I cannot imagine what that wife and family must be going through. Another person asks to pray for her son, Aaron. He's lost his job over a year ago. He needs prayer. He's got a beautiful daughter, but he's sinking into some bad habits, and he won't let anybody help him. He's full of anger. So this person is just asking for a return to the Lord and for the help he needs to get his life back so they can get their son back. They're asking for him to for your prayer. So we'll certainly do that. Somebody else was praying. They've got a mammogram, a double mastectomy, I think today as we are praying, and a lot of other intentions coming in. But before I share anything else, let me welcome Chris Flood to our prayer. And she's one of my great colleagues here at Relevant. And Chris, it's always good to pray with you. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you, Drew. It's my honor to be here.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up?
I would like to pray for my son, Kyle, his wife, Casey, and all of their intentions.
All right. We'll pray for our kids. We'll pray for yours. And let's pray for you now, too. If you have a special need, want, or intention, feel free to either call or email me, Drew at Relevant Radio, or you can put it on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Patrick is monitoring our Twitter feed today, and he'll share those coming up. But let's turn to our merciful Savior now. We'll ask for those miracles. We'll be persistent. We will abandon ourselves to God's will. Look, God's will is perfect. You know, it's better than our will. Trust me. You know, I know you want your prayers answered the way you want them, but you'll be much happier if you submit it completely to God's will, because he brings all things to the good. And they work out far better than we could ever imagine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Debbie. She's praying in Chicago with us. Debbie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling on behalf of a family friend. His name is John, and he was recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and it's inoperable, and he's supposed to have a port put in this week. So I'm asking for a miracle that as quickly as this cancer came about, that it just disappears. And I'm also asking for another parishioner, Mary Ellen, who's not able to walk because she's afraid to walk again, and she's very young. And just for all the seniors, especially those that are homebound. And that's
great
all.
Great prayers. All right. Well, let's pray for you too, Debbie, for whatever's in your heart. Okay, whatever you're asking the Lord for, I'm going to lift you up too. And we'll lift up all those beautiful intentions for your fellow parishioner, for those with cancer. Lord, I give you everything we just heard. I know so many souls right now who are united with me, carry heavy crosses, battling health issues. They're in the struggle of their life. I just give you those souls, and I ask that you hear all of our cries, that you give us peace, you give us clarity in the direction we're to go. You give us the ability to submit to your holy will and to trust in your divine mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Joanne, listening to us in Portland, Maine. Joanne, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'd like to remember the firefighters on the West Coast. Also, within the last month, 4 of my friends have come down, 3 of them with recurrent breast cancer, and one with in their 30s, out of the blue, an aggressive form, mother of 2. One of the women, and this is in all age groups, 30s through 93, one of them has already had a whole course of chemotherapy, and she has 9 months ahead of her to go. Wow. So I'd like prayers for all of them. Thank you.
You got it. Lord, I just lift up these intentions for cancer again, especially breast cancer. Pray for that person undergoing the double mastectomy. I pray for those with prostate cancer. I pray for cancer and all of its manifestations and forms. And I just I ask for healing touch. I pray for many miracles. I ask that during this time of prayer, when we gather together as your faithful children, putting our trust in your mercy, that you will allow to manifest in visible ways many answered prayers, Lord, especially cancer, that the doctors can be amazed that the tumor has shrunk or that the surgery is no longer needed or that the treatment has taken incredible effect. So I give you those souls and I give you their loved ones. I give you all those loved ones who have someone who's sick or suffering. I know they carry their own cross. I bring them to you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Ken. Oh, before I go to Ken, let me check in with Patrick, who's monitoring all the intentions that are now being posted on Twitter. Patrick, what's happening?
Yes, Drew, we got several messages here. Sonia is praying for her children, her mom, and her siblings, and her upcoming biopsy. MJ is praying for young wife and mother dying from metastatic breast cancer. Annalisa is praying for her daughter that her hair will grow back and also for her other older daughter's health. Monica is praying for her husband's conversion. And Jennifer is praying for her brother's marriage. And Julie is praying for the repose of the soul of Brent.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Pray for your intentions, too, and all those that have just come in. A lot of cancer today, right? A lot of breast cancer in particular when that happens, Lord. I'm just claiming those victories. That there'll be many answered prayers and many healings in that area. And I thank you in advance for the way you are responding in this moment to those prayers. Ken is praying with us in Virginia. Ken, thank you for waiting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Drew. I'm going to make this brief. Sure. 34-year-old priest has gone through a year and a half of unsuccessful, basically botched surgeries. To my knowledge, he's basically starving to death because his esophagus has basically been closed. Ugh. We're praying that he can get into Duke University ASAP to see one of the top surgeons in the country, hopefully to keep him alive. And I also pray for his mother to give her the strength to persist.
All right. Well, let's pray for that. Ken, I'll pray for you too, okay, for all your personal needs. I'm grateful for your call. Lord, I pray for this priest. And I know that suffering is sometimes a path to greater holiness, and quite often you allow us these crosses. But I just ask that you bless this man who's been through just a terrible series of sufferings. And as a result of these prayers from this moment forward, his condition began to change, and he began to recover. We pray for his mother, for all those who love him, and I pray for all those who are in these critical situations, Lord. Pray for those approaching the hour of their death, and I pray in particular for the hour of our own death, that you'll meet us as a merciful Savior, not a just judge. I give you Ken. I give you all who are on hold with me, all those yet now united with me in prayer, trusting in your unfathomable mercy. I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Jim. He's praying in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Jim, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking the call. It was interesting you were saying we need to continue to pray. And this is the third time I've asked for prayer on the relevant family family. For my son, he is making progress. He's having a real difficult time with COVID and trying to get sleep at night. And he's getting closer to trying to find a therapist that'll work with him. So we just pray that that'll happen here sooner than later, because it's just really causing problems with his family and the kids. Yeah. And I also want to pray for my wife. She's with a friend, and they're traveling together for the week. And we just pray that good Lord would keep them COVID-free. And I want to, because we're in a rural area here with a lot of farmers, and I want to lift them up too, so that their crops will not dry out.
Amen to Thank that. You. Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Minnesota, and he says that we need to pray for those farmers, he says, because it has really been dry. You guys need some rain there. So, Jim, we'll lift that up, but we'll lift up your son, especially for safety for your wife as she travels in all forms and every intention that you have in your heart. But, Lord, I do pray for our children. I pray for their healing physically and spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, and pray for those who are away from you that they can be drawn back. We pray for their liberation and freedom from drugs, from bad relationships, from whatever it may be. And we just entrust our children to you. But I pray for Jim's son, especially for those having sleep issues, those who battle narcolepsy. But on the other side, Lord, I pray for those with insomnia, those who really are being deprived of sleep. And I just pray for that. And I thank you, because I know you hear these prayers. I know how things are working. And Lord, I give you these troubling and sometimes impossible situations. And I thank you for how much you love us, and for the beauty of this prayer, and for the way it moves your heart. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Take our next call. But I was just thinking of what Jim had said. You know, he's been persistent. I also think of St. Paul. Paul had some kind of painful affliction. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he begged the Lord to remove the pain, right? He once, not twice, but three times before the Lord answered him. And when God answered, it wasn't the answer that Paul was wanting. I mean, God didn't take away the thorn. Instead, he gave him the grace to cope with that pain. So Paul began to give God glory in the midst of his pain. And I just asked the Lord that if it is his will that we carry our crosses a little bit longer, that we'll have that persistence, that important factor in prayer to pray, and also to rejoice in whatever our sin. Maybe it's a financial hardship. I know it's hard to rejoice in that, or it's a health problem or some other issue. It's hard to rejoice when we suffer. But we just ask that the Lord will, if he's giving us this cross, that we can understand it and make it meritorious. And Lord, I pray for all those right now who are confused and wondering where you are. And I just ask that your presence can be felt and peace and clarity come to the mind and heart of all those in these difficult times. Gabriella in New Mexico, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm calling with a prayer of thanksgiving. A couple of weeks ago, I called for my great-grandson's twins. They are finally getting out of the hospital.
Yay. That's fantastic.
And
that's great. No, go ahead.
And also for my granddaughter, who is having her baby tomorrow, that she have a safe delivery and no complications. This is her first baby. She's very nervous.
Yeah, I was nervous. My wife had five babies. You know, we had five of them together. I was nervous for everyone. Every child you get concerned about. But we'll pray right now for that. you're a prayer warrior, though, Gabriella.
I have seven.
So you know better than I do. know, it's always a concern, but boy, God will be with her. Let's pray. We'll pray right now for in Thanksgiving for first of all, for your grandson who was released from the hospital. Lord, we give you thanks for the way you do answer our prayers in your time. We thank you for the gift of medicine. We thank you for the ways you are answering prayers right now. I pray for all mothers who are pregnant, all those who are going to have cesareans or going into labor, or those who have complications with their pregnancy. I ask for your healing touch. I pray for infertility, those mothers and fathers who are struggling with that now, Lord, that you will remedy that, either through a child or through adoption, whatever it may be. And I give you those souls. I give to you not only Gabriella's intentions, but all who are united with me in prayer now. I give to you their finances and their health. I give to you their deepest needs. Lord, you know those. And I pray for those who suffer with anxiety and depression, those with suicidal ideation, those who want to abort their child. I want to pray for those who are not faithful to their families or spouses or to you. And Lord, I just ask for the graces that we need to grow in holiness so we may know you, love you, and trust you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Connecting you to the true, good, and beautiful.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. I love praying with you. I just have to say that it's such a joy to be able to pray that powerful prayer, of the chaplet. And like I want to talk about prayer for a minute. I'd love to hear from you too. You can always join me. My number here, anytime you want to call or pull up a chair or share your view or give some insight, it's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Today I just listened to Father Kubicki, and I don't know if everyone hears the same feed that I get in my headset, but it's the feast of two great saints, Louis and Zélie Martin, and they were, it's the feast of two relatively new saints, to be honest with you. They were actually a married couple, the first married couple in the history of the church to be canonized together. And, they were the parents of another great saint, they became the parents of the great saint and doctor of the church, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And they had a beautiful family. And I think of them and the influence they had on their young daughter, right? And we can share their story coming up. But I also think of Saint Faustina, who I love, and the influence that her father had on her faith life. And I was thinking also about Father Patrick Peyton And I remember him writing. There's a great documentary, a great movie out on him. I forget the title of it, but he talked in this. They talked about the influence that the parents had on their children, praying down every night, kneeling down every night, praying the rosary, the father getting on his knees. You know, I think so often we as Catholics, right, we have this vision. We have our statues, the images of saints in our artwork, and it's easy to think of saints as, you know, I don't know, these ivory statues. They live these holy lives. They've died. You know, things were different for them. They didn't have the same challenges we did, or, you know, whatever. It was a different time. No, that's not the case. You know, those saints, any one of them, name any of them, they were just as human as the rest of us. And they come from families just like the rest of us. Take a look at St. Francis of Assisi, you know, his father, the merchant. I mean, he had his struggles there with his parents, right? Take a look at St. Augustine, right? He struggled with lots of things. He fathered an illegitimate child, you know. When it came to chastity, he prayed to God, yeah, give me that grace, but not yet. I mean, you take a look at the saints. Now, Augustine, of course, had his wonderful mother who prayed nonstop, and she became a saint too, St. Monica. But you can go through all the saints. All the saints were just as human as you and me, you know. And quite often, I'm sure they had somebody praying for them. I really believe that. You know, the saints had parents, most of them. Most of these saints probably had siblings. But today, the church, especially in France, it marks the celebration of the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And it was the first time, as I said, a couple had been canonized together in church's history. So today, if you're having problems with your kids, if you're having problems in your family, turn to their intercession. You know, turn to their intercession. They'll intercede in a powerful way. The causes for canonization actually opened up back in 1957, but you might remember that, I think it was a couple years, it was maybe, wow, it's probably 5 or 6 years, 2015, I think they were canonized. So is that what, six years at least? Of course, they had a remarkably simple life. I mean, they raised their daughter in the church, and all of them ended up going into the religious life. Most of them became Carmelites, but the simple life that they led was obviously extremely fruitful, and they're not alone. Becoming a saint doesn't require having saintly parents. Maybe you didn't. Maybe your parent had an addiction. Maybe your parent was never there. Maybe you didn't have your parents. It helps to have good, holy parents. I think, you know, kids see that, and it models an example of what it means to be, you know, a loving father. You know, and that's how I think parents, sometimes sons who have, or daughters who have these bad images of their father, sometimes have a problem with God the Father. But not even saintly parents were perfect. I mean, there were times when a maid that the Martins had hired was verbally and physically abusing their daughter, and they had no idea it was happening. When they did find out, they dismissed her right away, and they changed how they approached discipline with their daughter. So there's lots to talk about with these great saints. I hope you're becoming one for your children or for your grandchildren. And maybe it's your parents or maybe your grandparents who influenced you. I'll share with you a quick story. And then Patrick O'Hearn's going to be stopping by. We'll talk to him as well. When I was a young boy, I remember my grandmother, very pious woman. Oh, my gosh. She would always take me to church. And then after church, we'd kneel before, you know, the statue of the Mother of God or St. Joseph, and we'd pray. And I know she prayed nonstop for many of my cousins, you know. Some of them were pretty wild. But that was the role of a great-grandmother. It was an influence I'm sure she had on me. I'm sure her prayers had an impact not on me and all my cousins, you know. My mother, the same way, you know. Her love of the rosary gave me a love of the rosary. My father's faith inspired me. Being good parents has a profound impact on your children. And today I thought we'd talk about the parents of saints. And Patrick O'Hearn, he joins us today. He's the co-author of Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. He wrote that with my former producer, Cassie Everts. And it's a great story. If you're dealing with miscarriage, you may want to pick that book up. His latest is called Parents of the Saints, Hidden Heroes Behind Our Favorite Saints. Just came out by TAN Publications, so I asked him to stop by. And Patrick, good to have you on the air with me today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. It's an honor to be here.
It's great to talk to you. You know, we often focus so much on the saints themselves. We often forget that they had families. I mean, St. Benedict, whose feast day, I think it was yesterday, was the twin of Saint Scholastica. How much does a family life influence the lives of their children? What have you found in your research?
Yeah, so in the 3 years that it took me to write this book, you know, I felt like the saints were constantly telling me, talk about my parents, and I found these seven hallmarks that were present, obviously, in the lives of the saints and then in their parents, and it's centered on the first hallmark I talk about is the sacramental life, just their love for the, you know, the blessed, for the Eucharist, and then their devotion, and then I go to the next hallmark, which is the sacrificial love, and then I have surrender, suffering, solitude, simplicity, and the sacredness of life. You know, I like the I like alliteration, but these were the seven hallmarks, and obviously you can incorporate other hallmarks in there too as well, like humility, which would be that would be encapsulated in the virtue of simplicity. So
that's awesome. Well, you know, I think of the Martins, you know, the Martins. They were the first married couple to be canonized together. What was so heroic about their lives? Tell us their background a little bit. I mean, they seem to have lived, from everything I've read, pretty ordinary lives.
They did. You know, what struck me about them is they had this great desire to, they wanted to be, enter religious life. And I spent about 3 years in a Benedictine monastery, so I can really relate with them. And Zelly, on her wedding night, she was in tears because she still wanted to be a religious. Her older sister became a nun. And she didn't understand that plan. Like, okay, God, I thought I was going to be a nun. And God said, you know, I have better plans for you. And Lewis, he also wanted to be a monk. And due to difficulties with Latin, he ended up living as a bachelor. And he was about to give up. And I think his mom kept praying for him. And his mom actually met Zelly, you know, her future daughter-in-law, at a lace-making class. And I think he kind of said, hey, you should check this girl out. It's just a very holy girl. And they met one day on a bridge, the Bridge of St. Leonard. And Zelly heard an interior voice says, this is he whom I've chosen for you. And based on studies, it believes that it was the voice of Our Lady speaking to Zelly. So they were a match made in heaven. Both wanted to be enter religious life, but God called them to raise up nine children, five of which entered religious life.
Wow, absolutely amazing. I think it's St. Monica. And what a heroic woman that must have been for St. Ambrose, who probably thought, oh, my mother, all she does is pray and bother me, you know, and yet he'd have such a profound conversion, become one of the great, you know, doctors of the church. Are there other parents right now, modern day parents maybe, or historic parents that are being considered for canonization that you know of?
There's a few other, I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but yep. I do believe there are some. I think especially in like the Opus Dei movement, there's a few that are up for canonization.
Well, let's talk about like St. Faustina. And I often think of her father and what an influence he had. What do we know about Faustina's mother and father?
Yeah, so her parents were, you know, one of the things I wanted to put in here, you know, Mother Angelica said, you know, I wish 30 years in purgatory to those who sugarcoat the lives of the saints. So I kept that in mind when I was writing this book. So as much as they're very holy, Stanislaus and Mariana Kowalska, they also held on to their daughter. She was their favorite child, and they were kind of hoping that she would take care of them when she got older. So initially they refused her vocation. But the thing that really inspired Faustina was her father would get up every morning and pray. He was just a very devout man. And the same with the mother. They always made sure they went to church on Sunday. And they were so poor that St. Faustina sometimes couldn't even go to Mass on Sunday because she only had one dress. So they lived in this virtue of simplicity that permeated to Faustina, who was able to endure so much suffering in religious life because of her parents, just that ability to be detached from the material possessions.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think after Faustina entered religious life, you know, her father came to her. And I remember talking with, I think it was Father Kaz or one of the great Marians. He was sharing with me the story of how, you know, before she took her vows, how the father walked with her. She's very close to her father as well, and they prayed together. You know, I love the imagery of parents, you know, praying. And having their kids see that. I was talking about Father Peyton and his story of always his mother and father at night getting down on their knees and having the family pray the rosary. And I know there's so many others. John Paul II didn't have a mother because, of course, he lost her very young. But his father played a role with him as well. What do you know about John Paul II and his parents? He's one of the great saints of our day and our time.
Yeah, so his father, you know, John Paul talks about in one of his books that he wrote on the 50th anniversary of his priesthood, you know, just in the middle of the night when he saw his dad on his knees, he said, that was like my first seminary. And his father and him became so close together. They would often, they put their beds together, and they would go to daily mass, and in the evenings, you know, pray the rosary, open up scripture. So his father was just this, his father showed him, I talk about in the book, more than anything in the world, that he showed him how to suffer well. And I think that's why John Paul II, as he progressed in his pontificate, like he just kept going. And it was because of, you know, it was just his dad. His dad just showed him how to suffer with grace.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know much about some of the other great 20th century saints like Padre Pio or even Maximilian Kolbe. I mean, I look at the 20th century and I think, oh my gosh, what an era. You know, even if you go back, you start in 1917, you look at the Fatima children, right? You make your way through the life of St. Faustina. You take a look at John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, Padre Pio. I mean, that century and those previous decades, if you were an anointed time. God raised up some incredible saints. Did you look into the life of Padre Pio? What do we know about his parents? Because he was a man with perhaps some of the most amazing preternatural gifts we've ever seen.
Yeah, his dad, I talk about his father Grazio a lot in the Hallmark of Sacrificial Love. His father came to America on two occasions. And the reason he did that was so he could, you know, get funds to provide for their family. So Padre Pio could be a seminarian and then become a priest. So without his father making that trip over to America, there could Padre Pio may never have become a priest. And his father missed his son's own ordination because of that fact. And I'm sure that just tore at his heart that he couldn't be there for his son. But at the same time, his son knew, like, I mean, my dad is so special to me. And it was so, you know, Padre Pio loved his mother so much that when she died, he couldn't even attend her funeral mass. Like he was in tears and locked himself up in his room. So often we think of the saints as like, oh, they were so detached that, you know, when their parents passed away, but the more you love God, the more you honor your parents and the more you love your family members. So that's what Padre Pio's parents meant to him.
It's such an awesome way of putting it. I think that's so true. It really is. And I also think that, you know, parents can be reflections of God. I often think of a father. You know, I try as a father myself. I can speak to my own example here. With my sons and my daughters, if there's ever an issue, I want to be understanding. I want to be compassionate. I want to be loving. I want to be merciful. I also want to be just when I need to, but I always want mercy to reign because when they look at me, you know, I don't want to be an ogre that affects their relationship with God. I don't want to be overbearing or demeaning or unforgiving. Sometimes parents can be that way, and it can really drive a wedge, I think, sometimes into the spiritual life of their own children. And I think that's tragic. What is it? Is there a common denominator that parents had in particular? You know, we talk about, say, Monica or Padre Pio or John Paul's parents or Faustina's. Is there something about the parents that you found as a kind of a common denominator that runs through all these you know, stories of the parents of the saints?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have the seven hallmarks, but I really think it's this holiness, really this desire to love God above everything, and especially the Eucharist and Our Lady. You know, those were the two pillars. You know, Don Bosco had that great vision or the dream of the two pillars. And I think that that's what kept these parents. They loved the Eucharist. They'd go on, you know, daily visits to the Blessed Sacrament if they could, and just praying the rosary. So holiness was the key, just wanting to love God and wanting to get their children to heaven and being detached from this world. You know, that I think they knew that their home was in heaven. So everything on earth was the goal to, you know, for union with God now and for eternity.
Yeah, that's well said. My guest today is Patrick O'Hearn. If you want to join us, our number here is 888-914-9149. He wrote a book called Parents of the Saints. And today, as we remember the first canonized married couple, the parents of St. Teresa of Lisieux, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk about the lessons we can learn and apply ourselves to our own spiritual life and to those of our kids. If you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. I'd also love to hear from you. Who influenced you? Was it your grandmother? Was it your father, your mother? Did your parents play a role in your own spiritual life? Or maybe you as a parent or grandparent, I know you've been praying for the conversion of your loved ones. Are you seeing the fruit of that as well? Love to hear your own stories. As I said, feel free to join the conversation. It's 888-914-9149. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's truth, hope, and a look at life you won't get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Hey, just getting you plugged into something I think is important. You and I are going to be judged. If you are a parent, we're going to be judged on how we fulfilled our duty as parents, how we are the primary educators of our children, how we introduce God into the lives of our children, how we form their conscience, how we help form their prayer life and their hearts. Today's the feast of two relatively new saints. They were a married couple, the first to be first married couple in the history of the church to be canonized together. And they, of course, are the parents of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Now, they did have other children. They had nine children altogether. Four of them died in infancy, leaving the five sisters, all of whom eventually entered religious life. And I think about that. I'm thinking, all entered religious life? What's going on there? That's the Holy Spirit on overdrive. But the parents have had to have an influence on them. Zelie died at the age of 45 from breast cancer, and then her husband never remarried. And when he was 66, he suffered a couple strokes, and his daughter, Celine, actually cared for him until he died about 5 years later. But the miracles that were attributed to them for their beatification, to become a saint, you need two miracles. You need a miracle for beatification to become blessed, and then one to become canonized, where you're declared a saint. And of course, the church has a criteria for all this. I won't go into all those details, but you need two miracles, right? The miracle for beatification and really canonization too, both involved young children. There was a boy in Italy who was born with underdeveloped lungs. And the family turned to the intercession of these holy people, these parents. And that boy recovered miraculously after they sought that couple's intercession. There was a girl also in Spain who was born prematurely and who recovered miraculously when doctors had lost all hope and she was dying. She was on the verge of death. So those are the miracles. And of course, they have to be scientifically defying defying. Clearly, they were. They met church scrutiny. They met the theology that had to be required for all of that. But they're powerful intercessors. I encourage you, if you have children away from the faith, maybe to turn to them. You're praying for the conversion of your children. Turn to them. You know, their life consisted of the same kind of challenges that we encounter today. The difference for them was that they trusted their lives and their children entirely to God, right? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? You know, we in caves today, right? Louis, he had his own kind of monastic cell on the third floor of the house where he'd go and pray and he'd read and no one interrupted him unless they came to talk about the spiritual life or were ready for some self-examination. I mean, the challenge for us as Catholics who parent, I think in the 21st century, of course, is how do you raise your children to become saints? How do we become saints in the course of our everyday, ordinary married lives? That's the big question. I have a brother-in-law. He's married to my sister, Tara. And when I come over, and I didn't realize this, but he had a pretty profound conversion. He's a deeply devout and prayerful man now. No matter who's in the house, no matter whether visitors are there, he goes away for about 30 minutes and does his prayers every night up in his room. And I said to my sister, I said, it's such a beautiful witness. He's not saying, I'm going off to pray. He does it very quietly. And every day, regardless of what goes on, he spends that time with God in the evening, invoking St. Joseph and praying for his family. And I'm thinking, what a profound impact he's going to have on my nephews, my nieces, right, on his children. Those are the subtle examples, even though you're not using words, that your actions will resonate. You plant seeds, and believe me, those kids, even though that maybe they reject what their dad says, or you know, maybe they don't, we think it's not having any impact on them. I'm telling you, those types of actions have profound impact, and prayer certainly changes things. I think that's another one of these common denominators in all these great parents of the saints. They were prayerful people. They loved God. They were in communion with God. They had a detachment. They entrusted their children to God. They knew that their children were gifts from God. And I'm telling you, if you are in that same situation, you do the same thing, you're going to see miracles happen. You're going to see conversion in the lives of your children, as Monica saw it in the life of her wild child, Augustine, right? That's just one of a number of cases. I'm joined today by somebody who understands this, because it took him 3 years to write a book. He dove into the research and wrote a book called Parents of the Saints, Hidden Heroes Behind Our Favorite Saints. And he looked at some big guns, you know, St. Faustina, John Paul II, Padre Pio, you know, St. Therese, Gianna Mola, St. Jose Maria Escriva, and so many more. And he joins me today. We'll take a few of your calls here, too. I only have a couple minutes. But, Patrick, let me just hit on one or two more. I mean, we have the heroic case of Gianna Mola. And, of course, Thomas More, you know, he laid down his life for marriage and for the truth and for the church. I know you're right about both of those. What is it about the two of those that really resonate, and you decide to put them in the mix?
Yeah, so Thomas More, his father's name was John More. He was also, you know, a lawyer, and then became like a magistrate. And one thing that was really special is every day, as when Thomas More became, when he got older, he would go and get his father's blessing. Often he would kneel down in the middle of the streets, and his father would bless him from his window, you know, his office window. And I think it's so important as fathers, you know, as priests of our home, to bless our children, you know, when they go to bed at night, to, you know, that sign of the cross with maybe some holy water. And, you know, Thomas More was in tears when his father died. You know, you see, and he passed that same love on from his father. And then you can see the way his daughter loved, you know, Thomas More, even wanted to get his head after it was, you know, decapitated, was buried with his father's head. So, again, that charity, that love, the devotion towards the parents and the blessing, that was passed on from Thomas More to his children. And then with St. Gianna, her parents just had this great love for the Eucharist, and they would go to daily Mass. And one thing about Gianna's father, Alberto, every night when he would come home, they would have a family dinner together, and he would ask about each of the children's day, and then if, you know, if some kind of issue surfaced, he would correct them, and then he'd like to end his day with a, you know, like a cigar and listen to his children playing the piano, and his wife would do like spiritual readings. So again, those are great lessons for us, you know, as a family with technology. We've gotten away from just getting to know our children and just being, having a family meal. And these are two great examples for us today.
Well, I love it. Let's grab a few phone calls. We have a few minutes here. 888-914-9149. Barbara is listening in Woodbury, Minnesota. Barbara, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Just a minute. I'm sorry. I'm turning off my, there we go.
That's
I wanted
perfect.
To compliment the author of this book, because it's often occurred to me that all these wonderful saints our church has, that in many cases they were raised by very holy people, very quietly. And it's wonderful that he wrote a book about some of those instances, and so that we can celebrate the parents as well, who probably aren't canonized, with the exception of the great saints like Saint Zélie and Saint Louis Martin. So thank you, Drew, for having this particular program. It's fascinating.
No, you got it. Thank you for the kind words, Barbara. I appreciate it. I'll move along, grab another one here. Let's go to Elizabeth in Austin, Texas. Elizabeth, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I just wanted to share, when I was introduced to Jesus, my brother and sister are slightly older than me, and they left for school, and I was always a crybaby. I was crying for them. And mother went to Catholic Church. She had an Infant of Prague statue. So after, when she was cleaning, she accidentally tipped him over, and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And she picked him up and kissed him. And I asked her who it was. She said, "That's baby Jesus. You can always talk to baby Jesus." And I was never in my mother's skirt after that. I was over there with playing with baby Jesus. So I'd tip him. I would just act like I was dusting, and I'd tip him over. And say, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I'd always kiss him. I did that all day long until my brother and sister
got
home.
That's so cute. I'm sure your mother was on to you, though. That's That's great, Elizabeth. Well, thank you. And Faith in New Jersey, I don't know if I have time for your call. I apologize about that. I'd love to hear from you and everyone else, but I just want to give the final thoughts right now to Patrick O'Hearn. And Patrick, your book, I'm assuming it's available at Tan Books on all major bookstores and online. What's the best way to pick up your book if someone wants to get it?
Yeah, I would say at tanbooks.com.
All right, and the book is called Parents of the Saints, The Hidden Heroes Behind Our Favorite Saints. Patrick, keep writing. Look forward to your next work, okay? It's always good to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Drew. God bless you. Pleasure being on your show. Thanks for having me.
God bless you. And you ought to check out his other book, too. It's called Nursery of Heaven. It was co-authored by my former producer, Cassie. Her name was Everett at the time, but it is, it's not at the time, it is now. I was going to give her a maiden name, but I think she wrote it when she was married, and she did, in fact. And you could check that out. Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. Nursery of Heaven or Parents of the Saints. Two great books. All right, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to be back on the other side. A lot more to talk to you about. Stay with me.